Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It's a brand new month, which means it's time for us to take a look back and a look ahead. And helping us out this morning is David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor. David, good morning.
Good morning, Money FM morning team. How are you?
Not too bad, because Circuit Breaker technically ends today and tomorrow phase one of the reopening process.
Yeah, all very exciting. Hello, David. Always good to talk to you too.
Yes, good morning, Manisha. Yes.
So, you know, we always like to kick off this segment with our big highlights from the past month. Elliot, hang on. Let's begin with you. You normally ask us.
Oh,
but let's ask you.
For me, football restarting. Germany did so on the 16th of May. Well, it's a bit weird, you know. No fans in the stadium. Maybe they'll just play fan sounds from the speakers. But hey, I'm glad it's restarted. What about you, Manisha?
Well, I'm glad that May is over, because it is the busiest month of my year. We
have
three birthdays and an anniversary in the space of 10 days. And let me tell you, even on lockdown, that was quite a feat to organize celebrations for everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ryan, what about you?
Yeah, Circuit Breaker CB took on a different meaning, right? CB for compulsive baking. So I've been doing a lot of milk bread and banana bread. So pretty much I'm set for a new career right now.
So David, I'm desperate to ask you, how is the pumpkin soup coming along?
The pumpkin soup is very, very good, Manisha, but I've now progressed on to coffee ribs, by the way, which I'm going to be making today. So I've been missing my regular dose of coffee ribs, and if you've never had it before, it is delicious, by the way.
Okay.
Manisha's vegetarian, so
yeah, we're going to need a veg alternative.
You can have vegan coffee ribs if you want. Yes, I can bring that in for you as well to go with the pumpkin soup, Manisha.
Yeah, well, let's figure out the right phase that will be allowed in, and then let's arrange it.
Hopefully next month, hopefully.
Yes.
Okay, so David, we are going to take a look at what's being closely watched. We see a lot of brewing tensions, the US and China, of course. I guess to start us off, I mean, with regard to the tensions between the US and China, President Donald Trump announcing he's going to take steps to revoke Hong Kong's favored trade status with the United States. That, of course, in response to that national security law. How do you see this spat playing out?
Well, it really depends on what President Trump actually announces, because so far he's announced nothing. All he's done so far is to threaten to take away Hong Kong's favored trading status, which means that some of the tax breaks and the travel arrangements between Hong Kong and America may be in some ways different to what it was previously. But we still have to wait to see what he is planning to do. I hope it's nothing too draconian, because otherwise it really will damage businesses in Hong Kong and also, you know, the sentiment of the people in Hong Kong. We're already seeing many Hong Kong people very confused and probably very concerned also about what could be in the pipeline, and some of them are looking at backdoor routes into other countries. I don't know if you heard, but the UK has already said that all those people holding BNO passports, or the British Nationals Overseas passports, will be given extended visas, if not, you know, permanent residencies in the UK. And hopefully that will tamper down some of the concerns that the Hong Kong people have about, you know, what may be coming in that direction. But certainly I feel that Hong Kong has been caught in the crossfires between America and China, and it really is a very unfortunate position for the Hong Kong people to be in, and also Hong Kong businesses. But I feel really angry that the Hong Kong government is not standing up for the Hong Kong people, because ultimately they are there to protect the Hong Kong people. And I myself am a Hong Konger, by the way, Elliot.
Yeah, so this is definitely a sentiment that we've seen shared by some of your fellow Hong Kongers as well, David. But with that, let's move on to the stock market, because after that announcement on Friday, there seemed to be relief that there were no new trade sanctions against China. But why the seemingly unworried reaction?
Well, I think it's primarily because people really have no alternatives at the moment. I mean, what else are you going to do with your money? I continually look at the stock market, not just last year, but ever since COVID-19 came onto the scene. And as far as investors are concerned, or just the general population, you just think, what am I going to do with my money? If I leave it in the bank, I get nothing. If I leave it as cash, I get nothing. If I put it into bonds, I get nothing. And property prices are still very high. So consequently, out of all the asset classes, the only thing that you're left with is the stock market. And at least for the stock market, you can still get a little bit of yield. I know the dividend yield is not particularly high at the moment, but still, a little bit is better than nothing at all. And I think that is the way that people are looking at at the stock market at the moment. It really is no alternatives to the stock market.
Hey, David, you mentioned that businesses will be hit in Hong Kong and potentially in China as well with what Donald Trump might be threatening. So is this a good time to start to think about reducing exposure there, investments in Hong Kong or Chinese companies? Is this something, to look at your portfolio and think, hey, maybe this is something I should try to reallocate to elsewhere?
Well, I think some people are looking at that. I mean, if you have got an alternative, if there are other countries that you are looking at, then certainly. I myself am looking very much at countries that are self-sustaining. And what I actually mean is that at the beginning of the year, I said that there were three big dangers that concerned me as an investor. One of them was rising patriotism. And that in itself is okay. People should be patriotic. But then you started moving into things like protectionism. And we saw a lot of that between America and China. And that has actually moved into other countries as well. And finally, we have this thing called nationalism, which is really quite dangerous. Because when you start moving into nationalism, what you're saying is that I am better than you, right? And that is really, really quite dangerous. So the way that I've been positioning my portfolio is to have a look at countries that are relatively self-sustaining, countries that are big enough to sustain their own domestic industries. And that is probably one of the reasons why I was leaning towards Malaysia in some extent, because I saw it as being a very populous country. It produced a lot of its own goods. And if it wanted to, it doesn't really have to rely on other people at all. And instead, it could actually sustain itself using whatever it produces. And I think increasingly people will be looking at that, and they're saying that maybe there is no resolution to this dispute between America and China, and that many countries will be more inward-looking rather than outward-looking. And that, of course, is going to be probably the theme for 2020, if not 2021, depending upon who is in the White House at the end of this year, Ryan.
David, this next one, I know it can be a bit speculative, but I wanted to get your opinion on how hard realistically can the U.S. push China? I mean, you mentioned earlier on there weren't a lot of specifics in Trump's threat to China, so to speak. So is he just, saber-rattling, just making some noise, trying to buy some time? Realistically, how hard can they push China?
I don't know if they can push very hard, because ultimately they are very dependent upon each other. And if you think of these two economies as two men drowning in the sea, because ultimately this is really what is happening to their economies. First of all, it's been damaged by the Sino-US trade dispute. Now overlay on top of that, you have this COVID-19, which is really causing a huge amount of problems and, of course, huge amount of unemployment in the two countries. I mean, opinions differ as to just how much unemployment there is in China. But some people put it as high as maybe 50 to 70 million people unemployed in China. And over in America, we have probably over 20 million people unemployed, and some are saying that could climb to over 30 million. Now, when you put all of that together, it's going to be 100 million people unemployed in the world's two largest economies. Now, if I was a leader in those two countries, I would be thinking, my goodness, not only is the economy tanking, but I've also got now rising unemployment. And the big danger, of course, is when you have rising unemployment, you have social unrest. And we're already seeing that in America. Mm. And can you imagine if there were 70 million people socially unhappy in China? I mean, that would be devastating. So clearly, I mean, these two leaders need to sit down and say, let's sort this out now, because I think we've actually pushed this too far. It's causing damage to the economy and to businesses, and now it's hurting people. Yes, Ryan.
And of course, David, just to pick up Manisha here, we've got these countries that are also starting to relax their lockdowns, right? So how much of that is being priced into markets? And I'm wondering how much of what's being priced in is somewhat optimistic.
That is a really good observation, Manisha. But as far as I can see, right, I think what is going to happen, and this kind of links to what I was talking about in terms of the huge amounts of unemployment that is going on around the world. I think what we're going to be seeing to some extent is a jobless recovery. And that is really what the markets are buying into. The markets are not looking at the economies and saying, why should I be buying stocks at the moment if economies are going to continue to shrink or grow at a very, very sort of low rate? Instead, what they're saying is that we accept that the economies are going down the pan. But what is happening is that companies are probably going to be making higher profits. And they're going to be making higher profits because they're not going to be rehiring all of those people that have been made unemployed. So companies are going to be working with a much leaner workforce. And ultimately, when you come out of recession, the one thing you need to conserve is cash. And we see that so often in so many companies saying that they're holding back on their dividends, they don't want to pay their dividends because they need to conserve cash. And they're also going to be conserving cash by not employing people or maybe making more people redundant, because ultimately that is the easiest cost to cut. And so if your sales are not growing because the economy is not growing, you can't raise prices because the economy isn't growing. The only thing you have left to cut is, of course, labor. And you are going to furlough more workers. You're going to sack workers. And I think the market is saying that all of that is going to happen, but at least the profits will be somehow preserved, Manisha.
We are chatting with David Kuo. He is the co-founder of The Smart Investor, giving us an outlook for the markets. Now, David, let's recap the Singapore market action in May. Well, if you look back, right, in May, the US markets actually did quite well. The Dow and S&P 500 up by over 4%. By looking at Singapore, it was a bit of a sell in May and go away. You've got STI down 4.5%. In fact, across Asia, is the worst performing index for the month. And it is interesting because there is a bit of a theme going on in May. Property, specifically REITs, did well. David, what was the takeaway for you last month?
I think you're absolutely right. I think people are looking at REITs and they're saying that, yeah, let's forget about those 6% distribution yields that we used to get in the past. And let's assume also that those distributions could be cut somewhere between 20 and 50%. So what it means is that that 6% yield that you had could become a 3% yield. And for many people, they will say, well, 3% is better than nothing. So therefore, I'm going to take that 3% yield. Because if I leave it in the bank, I get zero. At least with the REITs, I can still get about 3%. So I think ultimately what investors are doing is they're dividend hunting. They're actually looking at companies that are most likely to continue to pay out the dividend. And if you look for those companies, then I think that is where the share price action is going to be, Ryan.
Yeah, so if you look at the top gainers for May, you've got Mapletree Logistics Trust up about 13.9%. Also, CapitaLand Commercial Trust up 8.7%, and CapitaLand Mall Trust up by 7.4%. But the big question around REITs right now, David, is this sustainable? Because you've got COVID-19 affecting tenants, to some extent landlords as well, because they have to give rebates, and there is a big cloud of uncertainty right now. Is this something that will continue in the months to come, David?
Well, I think so. I mean, you mentioned three REITs there. I mean, the first one is Mapletree Logistics, and I think Mapletree Logistics is in the right place at the right time. I think logistics will continue to do well. Another REIT that could do well will be those data center REITs, because ultimately we're going to be requiring more and more data, so consequently the data center REITs will do well. And, of course, we've got CapitaLand Commercial Trust and CapitaLand Mall Trust. Now, these two are going to be merging very shortly. And when they do merge, then, of course, we will have a much larger REIT with a much bigger, a more diversified portfolio of retail and commercial. So consequently, I think investors are very smart. They're looking around and saying that which are the ones that are not least likely to stop paying the distributions, but the ones that are going to cut their distributions the least, I think, is probably the best way of looking at it.
And David, just to wrap things up very quickly, you've got the top losers, SIA, Sembcorp Industries, and SATS. Do you see a bit of a turnaround for June? Because you had quite a bit of a down session in May, STI down 4.5%.
No, I think it's going to continue to do well. And I think people need to also remember, you mentioned that some companies have fallen out of the Straits Times Index and some have been taken out of the MSCI Index. Now, what you need to remember is that just because a company has been removed from an index doesn't make it a bad company. You don't turn a good company into a bad company just because it's fallen out of an index. And you don't make a bad company into a good company just because it's been promoted into an index. That is the market looking at companies and saying that we want to buy more. Consequently, the share price goes up. So I think those companies are still great companies. I think they're good companies. So people shouldn't be too worried about what happens to the price, but instead look at the fundamentals of the company, Ryan.
We've been speaking with David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor. David, thanks for your time. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Elliot.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.